In the name of God, the compassion of the merciful, hello everyone, and welcome to the late edition of Our Ryan in English News with me, Nima Chitsas. Egyptian interim president Adli Mansour has appointed liberal economist Hazem Al Beblawi as the country's interim prime minister and Mohamed Al Baradei as the vice president. The appointment comes almost a week after the military deposed president Mohamed Morsi and the declared Chief Justice of Egypt's Supreme Constitutional Court, Adli Mansour, as a caretaker president. Al Baradei was initially tipped to lead the cabinet, but his nomination was rejected by the Salafist Nur Party. The Nur Party, which quit government talks following deadly clashes in Cairo on Monday, later said it would agree to have the former finance minister Samir Badwan as the new interim prime minister. Shortly after Beblawi's appointment, the Egyptian army warned all parties against disrupting the difficult and complex transition in the country. The warning comes amid growing opposition against Mansour's constitutional declaration. The Muslim Brotherhood said the plan for constitutional changes and a vote next year brings the country back to square one. Iran's Deputy Foreign Minister for Arab and African Affairs says the crisis in Egypt is worrisome, calling on Egyptian officials to exercise prudence to resolve the situation. Hossein Amir Abdullahian said Iranian officials have already voiced their concern about any conflict that pushes Egypt toward violence. He added the continuation of the massacre of the Egyptians by any group is unacceptable. He also called for Egyptian officials to prudently meet the demands of the Egyptian people in order to achieve national unity and consensus. Pro and anti-Morsi protesters gathered in capital Cairo as Egypt's interim rulers issued a faster-than-expected timetable for elections to drag the country out of crisis. Tens of thousands of Morsi supporters joined a rally called by the Muslim Brotherhood in Cairo's Nasser City to denounce what they call a military coup against democracy. Over 130 protesters have lost their lives and hundreds of others have been detained in protests that broke out 2 weeks ago and turned violent following the army's intervention. On Monday, at least 51 people were killed in clashes with the security forces outside the Republican Guard barracks in Cairo. Officials say at least 650 people were also arrested.
I think that the schedule we should undertake to end the division and violence on the streets is that we have election in the fastest time possible, so that by the end of this year we must have a president, a parliament and a completed constitution, so that we can overcome the division we have on the streets now.
The solution is that we should have national reconciliation, even though I don't know how we can achieve that. We already have an isolated president about whose situation we know nothing. They should either take him to trial or, if possible, the military should run a referendum on his constitution. We saw a strife yesterday in front of the Republican Guard compound, and today there was a strife in Giza. So it's obvious that the situation won't pass easily. And even if we were able to disperse the sittings, they won't leave the country. We could very well see the days like those of the 1990s, or repeat the Algerian model of 1992 in Egypt, which is not something we wish for, because Algeria paid the price with 200,000 deaths in their experience of a military coup against an Islamic rule.
Iran's foreign ministry spokesman says national dialogue is the only solution to the recent crisis in Egypt, urging all sides of the conflict to exercise restraint. Abbas Araghchi condemned the recent deadly incidents in Egypt and expressed regret over the death of a large number of Egyptians over the past few days. He called on all concerned parties in Egypt to avoid further violence. He said the continuation of tension and conflict in Egypt has caused deep concern in all countries, particularly regional states, and we are worried about the consequences of the violence and bloodshed inside Egypt and its outcome for the region. Araghchi also urged respect for human rights, democratic principles, and the legitimate demands of Egyptian people. Elsewhere, referring to the upcoming talks between Iran and the P5+1, Araghchi said, until the Iranian president-elect is inaugurated and has his cabinet members in place, no formal negotiations can occur. He further noted that both sides are waiting for the transition and the talks would take place at due time. Iran's defense minister has met with President-elect Hassan Rouhani to submit a report on his ministry's performance and achievements in various fields. Brigadier General Ahmad Vahidi discussed with the President-elect the current and future plans of the defense ministry. Vahidi submitted a report on the activities, infrastructure, and production capabilities of the ministry and Iran's defense industry in various sectors. He also explained the details of the programs that are already underway in the defense industry to President-elect Rouhani. Noting that Rouhani has a good experience in the defense sector, Vahidi said, he and his staff try to present him a clear picture of the defense ministry's operations. Secretary of Iran's Supreme National Security Council held talks with Afghan Deputy Foreign Minister Irshad Ahmadi on bilateral ties, insisting that the U.S. is not a trustworthy partner. In a meeting with a visiting Afghan official in Tehran, Saeed Jalili said, the nature of U.S. policies in the region indicates that the U.S. is opposed to unity, stability, and progress in the Muslim world. He said for the international community, particularly the people of the region stretching from Afghanistan to Egypt, the U.S. claims of opposing terrorism and favoring democracy have more than ever been proven to be false. Jalili also pointed to cultural commonalities between Iran and Afghanistan and underlined the need for broader mutual ties. The Afghan official, for his part, praised the Iranian government and nation for their sincere support for the Afghan people throughout years of hardship. Commander of the Iranian Navy says military relations between Tehran and Moscow stand at an appropriate level. Rear Admiral Habibullah Sayari said the two countries have held talks about holding joint military exercises and noted that Iranian authorities attach paramount importance to the development of ties with neighboring states. Sayari said, Iran places expansion of relations with regional and trans-regional countries high on its agenda. Iran and Russia conducted their first joint naval maneuvers in the Caspian Sea, involving about 30 vessels in 2009. The Iranian Navy recently dispatched two warships, the Jushan and Pekan, to the Russian port city of Astrakhan to convey the message of peace and friendship from the Iranian nation to Russia and other little states of the Caspian Sea. Greek municipal police and city workers stage a second day of strikes in Athens after the government announced many people will be losing their jobs. After first deadline, Athens agreed to put 12,500 state workers into a mobility scheme by September, which will cause them to be transferred to another civil service job or be fired within 8 months in order for Greece to secure its next loan from its lenders. The municipal employee unions held another meeting with government officials, but there was no conclusion to the meeting.
Essentially, no solution has been found to our problem. We will continue and intensify our protests and actions. We believe that in the end we will restore our right. We are united.
I feel disgusted. On Friday I had a job and today I don't. I have two children and now I am waiting to see what they will do because no one is telling us anything. Nothing is certain. We are all young people with degrees. On average we are all in our 30s. What will we do now? Where do we find a job? I have been doing this for 10 years.
A new poll in Europe shows that fear of unemployment is the greatest worry of the future, more than any other social or economic difficulty such as crime or inflation. According to the poll, the fear of becoming unemployed ranked highest for citizens in 7 European states. It was considered the top concern for 72% of Spanish respondents, 69% of French, and 32% of Germans. This is while in May, the Eurozone jobless rate edged up to its highest point in nearly 20 years, with with about 19.22 million people, or 12.2%, being out of work. The study also shows that overall 13.8 million people have joined the jobless ranks since July 2008, when the financial crisis began. Europe plunged into financial crisis in early 2008. Insolvency now threatens heavily debt-ridden countries such as Greece, Portugal, Italy, Ireland, and Spain. A powerful explosion has rocked the southern suburbs of the Lebanese capital, Beirut, leaving at least 53 people injured. The blast occurred in the suburb of Bir al-Abad, sending black smoke into the sky and causing heavy damage. Several cars and buildings were on fire in the wake of the blast. Lebanon's caretaker Prime Minister Najib Mikati has condemned the attack, saying it was meant to foment unrest in Lebanon. Meanwhile, Hezbollah lawmaker Ali Ammar issued a statement saying there is a clear fingerprint of Israel and its instruments in this action. The attack took place in a zone monitored closely by Hezbollah resistance group. The bomb attack is the second strike to hit southern Beirut this year. Bolivia has summoned the ambassadors of Spain, France, Italy, and Portugal, demanding an explanation why they banned a plane carrying President Evo Morales to cross their airspace. Bolivian Communications Minister Amanda Davila said Morales' government called for explanations and apologies from the summoned European countries' ambassadors and described the incident as state terror. The Bolivian government has also decided to initiate all necessary actions until it has a clear explanation and a direct and unambiguous apology by those countries. Also, about 3,000 protesters rallied outside the U.S. Embassy in La Paz, demanding that the diplomatic mission to be closed along with the embassies of Spain, France, Italy, and Portugal. Meantime, the non-aligned movement NAM has strongly condemned the recent move by some European countries to refuse their airspace to the plane carrying Bolivian president. The NAM further expressed deep concern over the incident, calling the move as a grave violation of Evo Morales' diplomatic immunity. On July 2nd, France, Spain, Portugal, and Italy refused to allow the Bolivian president's plane, which was en route to Bolivia from Moscow, to cross their airspace. They said the move came over suspicions that the U.S. whistleblower Edward Snowden may be on board. The movement also expressed outrage over endangering the life of the president of a developing country, despite the fact that government leaders and their aircraft carrying them are under immunity based on international law. Argentina's truckers have staged a 24-hour strike to protest taxes. The strike gathered about 2,000 truck drivers in the capital Buenos Aires, demanding income tax relief and social programs for workers, as the country is struggling with double-digit inflation. The strike halted the transport of key supplies like gasoline, cash for bank machines, as well as garbage collection. The move has posed a challenge to President Cristina Kirchner, who is facing a fledgling support in the run-up to October congressional elections. Kirchner's approval rating has plummeted in 2013 amid public anger over a weak economy, rampant inflation, and high crime. And finally, the death toll from a train derailment in Canada's Quebec province has surpassed a dozen. Police said 8 more bodies had been recovered, bringing the total to 13. Police added a total of 50 people were also missing. The derailment occurred on July 6 in the town of Lac Megantic, around 250 kilometers east of Montreal, near the U.S. border and the state of Maine. It sparked thunderous explosions that destroyed dozens of buildings in the center of the town, including historical structures. And on that note, we come to a wrap of this edition of RYN and English News. Join us tomorrow with the latest updates. Goodbye now.